if you are able to. Well, I trust that tonight's lesson will be a blessing to you. I believe we're on the point of something that every person in this room needs. And we're going to talk about communication in the home. Now, if you happen to be here and you're a single person and you still need to learn this wonderful art of communication, now I'm going to give you some different Bible passages when we get to some of the specifics points, that is. And you may say, well, that's not what that verse is teaching. I won't be giving you the direct interpretation of the verse, but I'll be giving you one of the applications of the verses that I believe will be a help and back up. We don't use the scripture to back up our story. You preach the scripture as it is, but you understand that when the Lord says He'll never leave you nor forsake you, that's good for somebody that's going through a funeral. That's also good for somebody who's going through the greatest joy of their life. It's also good when somebody doesn't have any loss or any sadness or tragedy, but they're just down because of something. It applies to so many different areas. And I mentioned to the Oasis group yesterday, I guess, that we had talked about a specific passage to Israel. Many, many promises to Israel. But that doesn't mean that since we're not Jewish and we're not there, that we just leave all those behind and we say, well, we can't take those promises. There's a lot of promises that it practically goes to us, even though it was specifically written to somebody else. So we'll have a few of those in the lesson tonight, as we back up the parts that I'd like to bring out about communication. But communication is so important. What are you holding in your lap tonight? A Bible, if you brought your Bible. That's God's way of communicating to you. What did you do this morning or this afternoon or sometime, maybe while you was driving or just as you're getting around for your day, you prayed. That's you communicating to God. That's the way God gave us to communicate back to Him. Who did God give to Adam, Eve? We gave him a help meet for him. But one of the ways that she was a help meet was that she was now able to communicate. Men, can you imagine how quiet it was in the garden before Eve came along? You say, well, let me think about that for a little bit, preacher. It would have been a different time, that's for sure. But God saw that Adam, it was not good that man should be alone. And so he made a help meet for him. And one of the aspects of what God gave to men is communication, relationships, yes, in every form, fashion. But one of the things that was there was definitely that communication. So as we look at communication in the home, I'm going to have you look at Ephesians chapter number 4. You've got verse number 23. I'm going to take you to 29. We may get back to the others before long, and we may not. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29. The scripture here gives us this command or admonition. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, meaning to build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So if there's something you're holding against somebody in this room, shame on us because of verse number 32. If there's something you're holding against somebody who's not in this room, shame on us because of verse number 32. If you find that person and they've done more to you than people have done to Christ, then you might begin to have an argument that you cannot forgive them. But you won't find what somebody's done that hasn't been done to our lovely Lord Jesus. And so we see that we're supposed to forgive them, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But I draw from these things, as the scripture says in verse number 31, we're supposed to put away these things, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Headed up by verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And so as we look at this tonight, I want to just ask these couple of questions and then we'll get done with this. Trust it'll be a blessing to us tonight. But I see, first of all, what is communication? Now, all of us know this. I'm just going to try to make sure we bring some biblical principles out that can help us in here, because I told Brother Dan that somebody in the last month or so, said, I'm not going to tell Brother Dan, but, and then he complimented something Brother Dan did. Well, usually you're used to the other when somebody says something negative, not about him, but about anybody. But I said, well, I thought to myself as this fellow is saying, I'm not going to tell him, but I tell you, and then went on to give a compliment. I thought, why wouldn't you tell somebody? And I figured out something that day. We're a whole lot better at giving negative things about people than we are about positive things. And that's just a pitfall sometimes we fall into. Did you ever notice that it's so much easier to go up to somebody at the restaurant or the store or whatever and say, something's wrong back there. The restroom's dirty. There's a mess in the aisle. Things are all messed up in one of the aisles, or you're out of this, or you're out of this. Do you ever try to go up to one of them and say, boy, you sure got a lot of toilet paper back there. Just doesn't flow so well. Sure got a lot of stuff out in that greenhouse. Hopefully not now because they don't want it, but sure got a lot of stuff in your Christmas aisle. It's harder to give compliments. We have a hard time communicating those things. It's easy when we get in the flesh and we want to yak at somebody, but it's not so easy about this. But what is communication? Now, not necessarily talking about those type things, problems. I'm just talking about communication. It's actually just talking and listening back and forth. You know the old stories about somebody that asked for something while a man's watching a football game, and you can get about anything, and afterwards he had no clue what you asked for, that he said yes. That wasn't a lot of communication. That was just some talking going on. Well, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says to the hearers, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Well, see, Jesus was doing the talking. How many of you understand? If you were around Jesus, I would have certainly loved to have been. But if you're around Jesus, you ought to do a lot of listening. But there were people that weren't, because he said that, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Because you understand that when Jesus would minister and Jesus would do great things for the people that he was around, oftentimes as soon as the miracle was done, so were the crowds. They weren't interested in hearing. Now it seems scandalous for us to think that somebody wouldn't come listen to Jesus. But we're looking at it from this side, and they weren't, I guess. But it wasn't enough that Jesus was teaching. And if I can say this reverently, to the people that didn't listen, it did no good. Now, it did do good because it's the words of God, and so we say that. But as far as in their individual life, we can come back down to our life and we look at different people. We had people that sit beside of us in school, and somebody had to be the valedictorian of your class. I was not. Some of us hold the ministry of making other people look better in those regards. They look at you and say, well, we got better grades than you. I said, yep, at least I'm somebody you can have a better grade than. That's my little contribution to make you look good. Somebody had to be the valedictorian, the salutatorian, all those things. Do you know that they went to the same class you did? The teachers would teach the same thing to them as they did to you, but one listened better, and maybe they had a better IQ level, and all that factors in there, I know. But sometimes it's just that we don't listen. So communication is talking going on and listening. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And I give you this verse because Jesus was illustrating that it didn't matter how important the subject were, how many of us would understand that everything that Jesus said was important. But if that person didn't listen, that communication didn't get done. So talking and listening is what communication is. I want you to see also that it includes an assortment of verbal and nonverbal symbols or signals. My pastor Norris, was standing up preaching one time in the auditorium of Ripley Baptist Temple, and there was this guy that rode my sister's bus, and he was about four pews back, and he just stood up, and so he was looking at the preacher at first, then he stood up and turned to the whole crowd while the pastor was preaching. He said, he crazy. And so he was given some verbal cues of he's crazy. He was speaking things, but even if he hadn't, by doing some things, he is sending some nonverbal cues as well that he thought he was off his rocker. Well, now we could argue who was off his rocker to stand up in the service, but my point being, communication, it includes those verbal and those nonverbal cues or communication. For years, I was the last stop of the discipline problems at our church in Murfreesboro, and all of the bus riders that we came. And so most, yeah, you have 500 kids, and most of them are good the whole time. A few of them aren't. And so they just kind of worked their way up through the teacher, and then that superintendent, and then the person that was out in the security. But eventually, they got to me if they had problems. And you get to see the way that people give a lot of communication. You understand you can't do that, right? You understand that we got this many young people here in that class. It's not fair for the teacher to have to do this for one when all the rest of them are suffering. And then they say something like, yeah, you're going to act better, yeah. But their verbal communication doesn't at all match their body language. And we're on this lesson of family. And I want our families to be people that, or families to be units that communicate one with another, both verbally and non-verbally. What is communication? So we have to get started on that first, and we'll move on to this next. But what is communication? It's talking, it's listening, it's non-verbal, it's all of these things mixed together. And that's what our families need. That's what your marriage needs. If you're single, that's what you and your friends need. Communication. Why do we need it, though? The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And again, as I mentioned, that's not the specific application of that, but or the interpretation, but the application is, the answer to that rhetorical question is no. And so there's a reason why you need to talk with your wife, why you need to talk with your children, why you need to talk with your family. That is so that you can be together in agreement on things. And you say, preacher, of course we're together. We live in the same house. Hello? There's lots of people that live in the same house, but they are as far apart spiritually, emotionally, all that, as you possibly can get. And these battles are won by having communication. So why do we need it? So that we can be agreed together. We can talk together. We can communicate and we can find common ground on those things. Why do we need it? Because we can't be agreed if we're not. We've got to learn about our family members. I want you to look in Ephesians. We're still there, I think, but chapter 5, just one chapter back, verse number 33 toward the end. We've got to learn about our family members. Let's look at our family members. Verse number 33, Ephesians 5, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so we understand that we've got to learn about these people. If we're going to reverence and we're going to love, we've got to find out something about them, or else a lot of our actions will be falling on wrong territory. Years ago, somebody wrote a book, The Five Love Languages, and in that he presents that people feel love and give love in one of five different ways. Well, it could be if you don't know your spouse well enough, if you're married in here, you don't know him or her well enough, that you're trying to send signals that I love you through one way or another, but it's not a way they recognize those things, so it really is almost useless. So we've got to learn more about our family members. We see in verse 33, so the husband ought to love his wife. Verse number 1 of chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You've got to find a way to realize what your parents want. Long ago, long before I got out of the house, I stopped getting spankings. Not because I didn't ever do anything wrong, I just figured out what caused them. And there were certain things, Dad didn't spank us for everything going under the sun, but there were certain things that he did. The other's got a stern lecture, or the other's got this, or the other's got that, whatever. But I was not the smartest cookie, but I realized that if these things cause pain, stop doing those things that bring pain. Well, I communicated enough to figure out what it is that causes those things. And so, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, thankfully, I got to a place where I really just didn't want to disappoint Dad, but at the beginning, it was just self-preservation. I hated to be the one that died. I thought, wouldn't that be some kind of obituary? Died of correction. But we've got to learn more about our family members. Look on, if you will, verse number 2. Honor thy father and mother, about like the first one, that it may be well with thee. And then verse number 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You've all said it if you've got children. Boy, they're all different. Every single one of them, they're so different. And one does this, and one does the other. And all of the children are. We've got three of them, and they're three different personalities and unique in their way. I'm responsible to communicate with them long enough and enough, not only long enough, but in a acceptable way to figure out what it is that would push them over that button or push them over that edge. Provoke not your children to wrath. You understand that you can tease some people and you can't tease others. That's true in life, not just with children. That's some people, if I as the pastor talk to some people when they come in like I do to other people, then they would say, I can't believe he said that. But if you don't volley back and forth with some folks, then they would think you were mad at them. And how do you know those things? You communicate. So we see that we're supposed to, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And we see that the way you figure out what it is that puts them over the edge, and we can go on to verse number 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. And this, in our culture, it would be the employee to the employer, find out what they want. And so we realize that the reason that we need communication is because we've got to learn more about our family. The Bible says another passage, and I'll get to it somewhere in verse or point number 3 underneath there, that 1 Peter chapter 3 that tells husbands you're supposed to dwell with her, your wife, according to knowledge. Well, the way you get knowledge is you study, and in that study you communicate. And then in that study and communicating, it makes you a more knowledgeable person, which gives you the tools to be a better person in that relationship. You say, preacher, this sounds a lot like a speech about how to get along with people. Exactly. Because you know who lives in your house? I mean, unless you're single, you know who lives in your house? People. And you know who you work with if you're still in the workforce? People. And it all comes back down to the gospel, because I'm responsible to communicate the gospel to my family. I'm responsible to communicate the gospel to my community. Well, I can't have an effective witness if I don't learn some things about them. I can't learn some things about them unless I communicate. So you say, why are you giving this lesson? Because I want families to stay together. I want our witness to be effective, and we've got to learn to communicate to make that happen. So we need to help our family members grow. In Ephesians, as we've already said, chapter 33, we don't not only have to learn about our family members, but we're also responsible to make them grow. Do you know that it's not fair for me in a house that I live in? We had 5 of us. Now Jared's moved to Murfreesboro, but there's 4 of us there. It's not fair for me to just say, I'm responsible for me and me only. I'm responsible for all of them. And that's not just because I'm the father. Maddie, our redhead, she's responsible for her sister, and her sister's responsible for her. We have responsibilities together. You say, how do you gather that? Because the Bible tells us even a Christian brother and sister bear one another's burdens. You say, yeah, but aren't you responsible for your own? Aren't you supposed to sit on your own blister? Aren't you supposed to take care of yourself? Yes. You know, that some people say, like that one verse that says, God takes care of those who take care of themselves. It's not a scripture verse, but it sounds pretty good. A lot of things get laid in the scripture that aren't there. You say, well, doesn't it say God takes care of those who take care of themselves? No, he doesn't necessarily say that. But there is a truth. You are individually responsible for yourself. But there's another very real way that we're responsible for each other. If I see a brother in need, I'm responsible after God puts it on my heart to do something about that. You say, well, I didn't get them in the mess. If God revealed to you the mess that they're in, regardless who got them in there, you're now responsible to help out with that person. And same in your family. So we need to help our family members grow. And then why do we need communication? As I already alluded to before, so I won't dwell on it. But it's necessary to grow. 1 Peter 3:7, dwell with them according to knowledge. How do you know somebody? You watch them, you live with them, and you communicate with them. I hope you're getting the picture that it's not fair for you just to close up and say, I'm not going to talk to anybody. That's not the way God made us. And if you took on a family, either you did the asking or you did the accepting in a marriage, then you were by default saying, I'm going to communicate with this person. You've all heard that story that man that wasn't very expressive, and he wouldn't really give I love yous and all that. And somebody said, well, why don't you just be more expressive? He said, I told her I loved her when we got married. I'm a man of my word. If it ever changes, I'll tell her. That's not a very good communicative model to follow. We see that it's necessary for growth. Necessary for growth in your family. You've got to. It's like the blood of a family unit, I guess. It's like the lifeblood of it. It's what keeps things moving. It's what keeps things moving in a workplace. That's what keeps things moving in a church. We often work on how to communicate better. I don't like announcements. I don't like church announcements because it takes place of the things that are more spiritual, singing and preaching. I don't want to hear meet in the blue room for this or meet somewhere for that. Is that we only do those because we want to communicate. It's necessary for growth in our church, but it's also necessary for growth in your family. And so I'm challenging everyone who's that person that just draws back into themselves. They're not that talker. Maybe they're that one that told me, said, well, I don't want to tell Brother Dan, but he's been doing this good. Or I don't want to tell Kyle, but he's been doing this good. And I say to those people, tell them. Communicate those things. It's how we grow. So that's why we need it. Now, how can we improve? All of this coming back to your family unit, how can you get better? All of us realize there are some issues. How can you get better? Number one, you can realize it's a two-way street. Again, you don't communicate just because somebody spewed out a bunch of words. I've sat in classes before, and I was distracted because of something going on, maybe because I was sleepy, maybe because I just couldn't get over what was going to happen after class or whatnot, and the teacher taught for the whole hour. But after it was done, I couldn't really tell you anything they said. I wasn't doing my job of listening. So it's a two-way street. It goes back and forth. But how do we improve? I'll tell you this way. If you're gonna walk out of here and say, well, I'm going to be a better talker. I'm going to be that somebody that gives them what they need to hear. My dad, he doesn't ever listen to our services because he's not on the computer. But he told me about 2 years ago. He said, John, I'm at that point 80 years old. He said, I'm too old to really hold things back. I'm just going to really let people know what I think. I said, Lord, have mercy. If I've had the governed version all these years that he was holding back, I don't know what the next version is going to be like. And he meant that. He knew his time was short. When he had the chance to give the gospel, he was just going to give it. Because sometimes he'd held back. But I thought, boy, oh boy, oh boy, if you've been holding back all these years, I hate to see the one that didn't hold back when some friends of mine were doing this, that, or the other. But if you're walking out of here saying, that's me, I'm just going to let people know what I think. Before you take that action, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You're in Ephesians, go left a few books. Before you walk out of here and say, well, the preacher said, I got to communicate, so I'm going to tell people whenever I see something stinks, whenever I see something I don't like, I'm just going to blurt it out. Well, here, let me apply these verses. Again, not specifically to communication, but it certainly applies. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself. Charity, or another word for love, an old word for a new word, love. Love or charity suffereth long, it's kind. It envieth not, it vaunteth or doesn't puff itself up. So before we go out of here and say, that's good, I'm glad he gave me the green light, I can just say whatever I want, I can communicate to everybody all the things I don't like about them. Well, let everything, the Bible says in another passage, be done in love. So if we're going to communicate, how we're going to improve with it, we're going to have to do everything from a heart of love. Communicate in love. Not only are we going to be able to communicate in love, but look down a couple of verses in verse number 7 that talk about this love that we're supposed to live our lives in. it beareth. It rejoices not in iniquity, verse number 6. We rejoice in the truth, verse number 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. We oftentimes give this passage, it's talking about exercising your gifts with love. But if we're going to communicate in love, we're also going to have to be patient as we learn how. You know what's a real tough thing for an adult to do? Is admit they're about like a kid. And I need to learn some things. Just in the last 3-4 days, I've really been doing some deep diving on one issue of my life because it was brought to my attention. And I need to really work on that. It's not sin. I mean, it's sin now because God's brought to my attention. I need to work on it. But it's not immoral, gross, all those things that God. But you know what's hard for us adults? To admit we need to work on some things. And I realize I'm valuing something more than I need to value it, and I need to lift up something else a little bit more. And if you're that person that's, oh, you can communicate, if you mean communicating is da-da-da-da-da like a machine gun, and you'll just lay people out by your words, if that's communicating, then you can do it all day long. That's not communicating. But if that's your go-to mode of operation, then you need to remember what the Scripture says, that we're supposed to be bearing all things, be patient. Bearing has this indication. It brings along the idea you're just loaded down. You're bearing it. I'm carrying this along willingly. I'm bearing all things. Meaning I'm patiently trotting along. And if you've got somebody who's hard to communicate with, you're going to have to be patient as we learn how. You've got that one that gets set off easy. It's not going to work for you just to say, well, shame on him or shame on her. You're going to have to let the Holy Spirit work on them, and you let the Holy Spirit work on you as well. You know what we're very good at? We're very good at sometimes playing spiritual basketball. Hey, toss it over here. Love is patient. Love is kind. Pass it here. I know who needs that. Man, do they need that. But you know what we're bad at? We're bad at receiving the pass and letting it stay with us. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love beareth all things. Whoo, I got the ball. I think God wants me to keep the ball for a little while. I think verse number 7 is for me. I think verse number 4 is for me. I think verse number whatever is for me. I can't pass it to anybody. Our church has been so full, churches have been so full of people who have assigned when the pastor preaches, well, I know he was preaching to today. If you had that attitude, you probably don't, because you're thinking it's him and really it was you. If I was at all. But why do we need to improve, or how do we need to improve rather? We need to be patient, bearing all things, just bucking up under the load, patient. And then the last one underneath that point, just have a personal and family prayer time. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. There's no better way to improve your communication between you and your spouse than for you to improve your communication between you and your God. And then when you've got that overflowing relationship between you and Him, then you grab arms with your sweetheart and say, could we pray together? You say, isn't that so awkward? It is. It really is. You can go to a ball game together and paint your face in orange and put your orange tee on, and he can have an orange jumpsuit, and you can have an orange culottes on, and you can go and act like a silly person together. You can do that all day long, and it doesn't bother you a bit. Woohoo! But you know what's difficult? Hey, let's just come in here, and I want to read some scripture and pray. Devil makes it that way. Our flesh makes it that way. But it certainly makes communication a lot easier when you bring that that spiritual aspect into it. And so these are some ways that we can improve. We can communicate in love. Charity suffereth long. May your communication not be short. May your time together not be short. And may your love not be short. May it be long. But long and glorious relationships are built on long communication. Now, I know what some of you men are thinking, because I'm right there with you. Sometimes, as Larry Brown, a pastor that Brother Dan and I worked for, he said, you men, he said, sometimes I know what you feel like. He said, you've been working all day and you come home and all you want to do is let that tongue sit in a bowl of spit in the bottom of your mouth. Which doesn't sound that appealing, but you know what he meant. He says, you don't want to talk. But you know what? If you're married, that's the time to learn to communicate. Even if you would just rather sit there and veg out, you got to put some of that side aside and communicate. Well, I hope this lesson has fallen on some ears that have understood. It's light on. It's not a passage that we just go through. But it's been in the mix for this family series, because where families fall. You see, I thought people got divorced because somebody else came in the equation. That's one of it. But if those two were communicating at a wonderful high level, it's hard for some intruder to get in. Where intruders get in is when that relationship is not strong. Where ladies start talking to some other man is when their man is not talking to them. You get me? And that's why they feel it so refreshing to have somebody who will just talk to them and listen to them. And ladies, let me just instruct you, that guy that's doing all the listening, he's only doing that just like you're the old one that you got home that used to listen to you when he was after certain things. That person's most likely after certain things as well. And they're only listening until that defeat is made, or that objective is won. So don't be fooled into thinking this one's any better than the last one. We'd be better off just to get the other one kick-started and have him start talking to you again. And so you understand that the reason that many marriages break up when it is somebody else, there is a chink in the armor of that relationship, which usually means there's a chink in the armor of that communication. And when that chink in the armor of that communication went down, shields were down, then some predator, some intruder came in, but only because the communication wasn't there and the shields weren't up. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I believe that communication is the lifeblood of a healthy family. And I want our families to be healthy. I want our marriages to be healthy. And Lord, I pray that you would help the people that are in front of me start talking once again. Lord, when it's not necessary, I pray they'd talk. When they think everything is fine, I pray they would talk. When they think they know everything about their kids, I pray they would talk. When they think their teenager doesn't want to listen, I pray they'd talk. And Lord, apply that long-suffering and bearing all things and being patient. Lord, I pray that we could communicate. Because, dear Lord, if our families break up, then we're not the witness, the testimony that you want for your glory. We're not who we need to be. So I pray that you would help us, dear Lord, in these things, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies begin to play something through? And maybe you want to pray for your family. It's a hard thing to say, well, come on down. You think, well, people think something's wrong. Well, they can let them think what they want. But if you don't want to come down, pray there in your seat. I'm asking everybody. Be you somebody that's got extended family. I think that every single one of us could work better on this communication. As they play, I invite you to pray right there. Lord, help me to be a better talker. There's marriages that haven't had a serious talk in months. Oh, I need you to pick up the kid. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do that. Where's my this? There's that kind of talk, but not real communication. As folks are praying, I didn't speak about the gospel tonight except to say that our family should be a good testimony so that we can ultimately communicate the gospel. But perhaps you came in tonight. Could I just speak to you briefly? You came in tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. This church has not stood for this long to tell people to talk it out in their homes. You just happen to be here on a night that's in a series about the family. But this church has stood for this long to tell people about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to be your Savior. He is the Savior of the world, but He wants to be your personal Savior. If you're here tonight and you don't think that, or you know good and well, you don't think He's your Savior, you know about Him, you certainly want Him to be, but He's not, would you step out and come? Let me or someone take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that you know who you are, a sinner before the Lord. You know who Jesus is, the Savior that left heaven to come down to this earth to die on the cross. And to make sure that you know that you need to turn to Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of your soul. Would you come? And thank you, Lord, for the time to be in your house. Thank you for a wonderful church family. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would take some of these truths and apply them to our families. And may we be a bright and shining star, not for our own glory, dear Lord, but so people would see our good works and glorify our Father, which art in heaven. Lord, thank you for this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we went just a little bit long. I apologize for that. I guess you get on a roll once in a while, but thank you for being in church tonight. I'm going to be back at the lobby, and I hope you get by and see several folks that you haven't seen yet. And it's just a joy to be here. Oh, I want to tell you one special thing. Men, this Saturday at 8 o'clock in the Family Life Center, we'll have our prayer breakfast. And so we will pray together, have breakfast. Here's what the schedule will be. We'll start at 8, and we'll be done at 9. And we've got a special guest coming. He'll speak for just about 15 minutes of that, and he pastors the church, I forget the name, I'll tell you Saturday, he pastors the church that was started by Jonathan Mulkey, who was our second pastor. So Jonathan Mulkey started, I believe it's Double Springs, but it may not be, so he started that church. And then he later came, and just a few years later, came to pastor Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Well, Jonathan Mulkey, we're not bringing him because he's been gone for a long time. But Randy Waller, the pastor of that church, is going to be our special guest on that Saturday. So I'd love for you to come and meet him, and he'll be just give a short challenge. So we'll be starting at 8. We'll have bacon and the normal stuff for breakfast. It's free. We'll have a great time together. We'll have some camaraderie with men, and then Brother Waller will preach, and we'll be done at 9 o'clock. And you'll be off and on to do whatever is happening at your day. If you can give us that hour, we'll have a great time together, and I believe it'll be a wonderful event. So God bless you, men and ladies, of course, but that for our prayer breakfast for men. We'll have a great time. God bless you. You're dismissed.